1 Samuel chapter 27, we're going to look at it into its entirety and all the way down into the first few verses of 1 Samuel chapter 28. To introduce today's text, I want to pose a question for us this morning. And the question is this: was there ever a point in your life when you were sick and tired of being sick and tired? Maybe you're like, that's me today, Caleb. Maybe today you're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Maybe it's been just a long season of life for you. Maybe it's been a long season of depression. Maybe it's been a long season of loneliness. And just to be honest, this morning, you're tired of it. Maybe it's been a long season of just physical hurt, physical pain or physical sickness or physical illness. And just to be honest with it, you're like, I'm tired of it. I'm tired of this pain. I'm tired of this sickness. I'm tired of this hurting. Maybe you're just over that work situation, that boss who never seems to appreciate you. Maybe today you're just worn out from this thing that's been going around for what seems like eternity, this virus called COVID-19. Maybe you're just worn out from the daily drudges of life. Every single day it's just difficult to get through. Maybe you're in a relationship that consists of constant verbal abuse or even physical abuse, and you just feel stuck there, not knowing what to do. Maybe today you are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And if not today, maybe you will be tomorrow. And theologians agree that David, in the text that we're getting ready to look at, that he was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He was tired of running for his life. As a matter of fact, chapters 19 all the way through 27 of 1 Samuel, they consist of David being on the run for his life from Saul. That's 9 whole chapters. That's a great span of time. And he's tired of running for his life. David was responsible for the safety and the well-being of his family. He was also responsible for the safety and well-being of his men and their families as well. Probably around 2,000 total people or so. So we understand all that's going on in the life of David. And look at verse 1. Understanding all that's going on in the life of David. Verse 1. David said in his heart, "Now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul. There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of the Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." So David had seen God work in his life over and over. And God had provided for him over and over again. God had protected him and his family and his men and his men's families from Saul time and time again, over and over. Every time that Saul came out to pursue David, you remember the stories. What happens? God takes care of it every single time. David even had God's promise that he was going to be the next king over all of the land, that he was going to be the next king over Israel. As a matter of fact, the entirety of chapter 26, we looked at that last week, is God delivering David from the hand of Saul, okay? But what do we find David immediately doing here in chapter 27? We find David speaking to himself. He stops listening to God, and he starts listening to himself. He stops listening to God, and he starts speaking to himself. saying things like this: Saul is going to kill me. There's nothing better for me. I am going to escape to the land of my enemies. I will escape out of the hands of Saul. And one theologian calls this a godless chapter. Why? Because in all of these words, God is never mentioned. Not even once. God is never brought up. David never inquires of God. He only inquires of himself. So David speaks to himself, knowing all that God has done for him in the past, knowing all of God's promises, saying, this is what I'm going to do, verse 2. So David arose and went over, he and the 600 men who were with him. Where does he go? To Achish, the son of Maok, king of Gath. And David lived with Achish at Gath, he and his men, every man with his household. So all of their families there as well. And David with his two wives, Ahinoam of Jezreel and Abigail of Carmel, Nabal's widow. And when it was told Saul that David had fled to Gath, he no longer sought him. And it begs this question: where in the world is Gath? Well, I'm glad you asked that question. Gath is in Philistine country. If you remember, the Philistines were the enemies of Israel, the enemies of the people of God. And sure, we understand what David was going through. Saul was after his life. Let's not blame him for that. He's sick and tired of being sick and tired. He's tired of running for his life. You and I would be tired of running for our life as well. He has a couple of thousand people that he is responsible for. He just wants to be able to rest in peace. He just wants to be able to enjoy the company of his family in peace. He wants his family to be protected from Saul and Saul's evil schemes. He wants the families of his men to be protected from Saul as well. But when David crossed the border into Philistine country, theologians all agree that David literally crossed the line, that this was too far, that this was not something that David should have done. So he crosses the line into the land of the enemy, becomes friend with the king of the Philistines. Verse 5, David said to Achish, this is the king of the Philistines, if I have found favor in your eyes, let a place be given me in one of the country towns that I may dwell there. For why should your servant dwell in the royal city with you? So that day Achish gave him Ziklag. Therefore Ziklag has belonged to the kings of Judah to this day. And the number of the days that David lived in the country of the Philistines was 1 year and 4 months. So we see in this text that instead of David and his men living in Gath, he requested that King Achish allow him and his men to live in Ziklag. That is still in Philistine country. And Ziklag was a country town away from Gath. And David had secret reasons for wanting to go and to live in this country town, the country town of Ziklag. Number one, he wouldn't be living under the constant surveillance of King Achish. Number two, also so that he could operate secretly as he was there in Ziklag. Look at verse 8 and 9. It says, now David, as he's living in Ziklag, in this country town away from Achish, away from Gath, David and his men went up and made raids against the Geshurites, the Gerzites, and the Amalekites. For these were the inhabitants of the land from of old, as far as Shur to the land of Egypt. And David would strike the land and would leave neither man nor woman alive, but would take away the sheep, the oxen, the donkeys, the camels, and the garments, and come back to Achish. So we see, as the text says, that while David was living in the outskirts of Gath in Ziklag, he would stealthily take his army of men, and he would go and he would wipe out entire cities. He would wipe out those cities. Why? Because this was the command of God. This was land that was given to the Israelites to conquer that had not yet been conquered. So David, as he is living in this country town, the country of Ziklag, he is going into these lands that have not yet been conquered, as God has told him to conquer these lands, and he's going there and doing this. God said to Joshua, "This is the land that yet remains, all the regions of the Philistines and all those of the Geshurites." Well, this is one of the places. This is one of the lands that David is going into to conquer because they have not yet been conquered. Moses said in Deuteronomy 25, "Therefore, when the Lord your God has given you rest," he's speaking to the children of Israel, "from all your enemies around you in the land that the Lord your God is giving you for an inheritance to possess, you shall blot out the memory of" who? "The memory of Amalek." That's the Amalekites. That's one of the places where David is going and taking over. "Blot out the memory of Amalek from under heaven. You shall not forget." And if you remember, the reason why Saul was rejected as king over the land was because Saul didn't destroy all of the Amalekites. Remember that from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Samuel told Saul, "And the Lord sent you on a mission and said, 'Go devote to destruction the sinners, the Amalekites, and fight against them until they are consumed.' Why then did you not obey the voice of the Lord?" God told Saul, "Go into the land, take out the Amalekites." Well, what does Saul do? Doesn't take them all out. He allows the king to live. Therefore, God rejected Saul as king because Saul disobeyed God. So, the one good thing that David did while he was living in Philistine country was to finish the tasks that Saul did not finish. Pick it up in verse 10 and 11 with me. It says this, "When Achish asked," speaking to David, "where have you made a raid today?" Notice David's response. Living in the land of the enemy, okay, David would say against the Negev of Judah, or against the Negev of the Jerahmeelites, or against the Negev of the Kenites. And David would leave neither man nor woman alive to bring news to Gath, thinking, "Lest they should tell about us and say, 'So David has done.' Such was his custom. All the while he lived in the country of the Philistines." And this text tells us that when Achish, king of Gath, would ask David where he raided, what's David telling him? He's lying to him. He's telling this king of the Philistines, that he was going back to Judah, to his home place, to his hometown, to his home community, and that he's ransacking the people of Judah. But, as the text tells us, because David would wipe out every single person in these cities that he was going to conquer, no one, because they were all dead, no one could report back to King Achish what David had done or where he was doing it. And this was all working out well for David, right? Living in the land of the Philistines, living out these lies, it was all working out for him, right? Wrong. Look at verses 12 all the way into chapter 28. "And Achish trusted David." Goes into the enemy's camp. Now he's got the king of the land on his side. "He trusted David, thinking, 'He has made himself an utter stench to his people Israel. Therefore he shall always be my servant.'" Down into chapter 28. "In those days the Philistines gathered their forces for war to fight against Israel. And Achish said to David, 'Understand that you and your men are to go out with me in the army.' David said to Achish, 'Very well, you shall know what your servant can do.' And Achish said to David, 'Very well, I will make you my bodyguard for life.'" So we see in this text that David's lies caused the king of the Philistine country, King Achish, to trust David. Achish was led to believe that David's own people now hated him. And why wouldn't they? I mean, according to King Achish, David had been pillaging his own people. Surely by now, after a year and 4 months of pillaging his own people, surely by now they hated David. So what does Achish do? He tells David, now you're on my team now. You're going to come with us and you're going to go and fight your own people. You're going to be my bodyguard for life. And we will see how all of this plays out in a few weeks in 1 Samuel chapter 29. So looking at this text, and as we've worked through it, let's ask ourselves this question this morning. What is this? Does this mean anything for us today? This was written some over 3,000 years today. Does this have any implication or application for us today? And the answer is yes. This has great implication and great warning and great application for us today. What do we do whenever we are sick and tired of being sick and tired? We've just gone through the ringer. It's been a long season. It's been a long season of life. It's been a long season of just turmoil. It's been a long season of virus and COVID-19 and sickness. It's been a long season. What do we do whenever we find ourselves in a position like David? We're sick and tired of it. We're sick and tired of being sick and tired. Let's ask this question in our application. And the question is this: who or what am I listening to? Who or what am I listening to? You see, listening to ourselves can get us into some trouble, right? Listening to ourselves can get us into some trouble. Let me give you an example. About a month ago, we were sitting at home with my family, my wife and my daughter, my two sons, and I said, hey, let's go out and explore somewhere. So we found some property that our association has of churches, and we went out and we were just walking on this property. It was kind of a nicer day, and we were just out in the forest exploring, walking along. And we're walking along this property, and I see a massive hornet's nest sitting up in a tree. And I have a picture of that hornet's nest. So I see this hornet's nest, and I say to myself, that's a neat hornet's nest. As a matter of fact, I'm speaking to myself, that hornet's nest would look great in one of my boys' rooms. So I said to myself, let's take that hornet's nest down. So I do the manly thing, and I get a stick, and I hit it really hard, and I run off to make sure that there's no hornets in the nest. And I hit the hornet's nest a few times with my stick, and what happens? No hornets come out. So I'm like, this hornet's nest is empty. This hornet's nest is mine. But I also hear another voice, the voice of the Holy Spirit, my wife, saying, Caleb, are you sure that's a good idea? And I said to myself, I was speaking to myself, of course this is a good idea. This is a great idea. So I take the hornet's nest down, give it to my sons, and I say, let's take a picture with the hornet's nest. And they do, and we're safe. There's no hornets flying around. So I'm very proud. I take that hornet's nest, and I throw it to the back of my van, and I'm saying, we're taking this hornet's nest home. Well, we're driving down the road, you know, kids are hanging out, peaceful afternoon, all is going well. And my son Colson is sitting in the very back, and he says from the very back, Dad, I hear a loud buzzing sound going on. Do you hear that loud buzzing sound? And I said, no, I cannot hear that loud buzzing sound. Maybe it's something going on with the brakes. Maybe it's something going on with the engine. He's like, Dad, there's a loud buzzing sound going on here. I'm sorry, son, I don't have a clue what that loud buzzing sound is. And then about 3 seconds later, my son Colson dives down into the floorboard, taking cover for his life, because what is happening is there are hornets, big hornets, let me just tell you, coming out of the hornet's nest. Well, doing some research, we come to find out that during the cold months, hornets will go dormant, right? They go dormant. And whenever they warm up, maybe they're warming up from a vehicle's heat, they all of a sudden come alive. Well, these hornets start barreling out of this hornet's nest. And let me just tell you, it was the craziest few moments of my entire life trying to find a place to pull over so that I could save my family from death. Because these hornets were coming out. We pull over on the side of the road. Our kids are barreling out. I run out. Brittany runs out. We forget to unbuckle Macy. So we have to come back and we have to unbuckle Macy. We get our kids out and there are hornets just barreling out. Once we think they're all gone, we come back to the van. We see five or six more hornets. Our kids are running for their life. And let me just tell you, if this would have been on video, we would have won $10,000 from America's Funniest Home Videos. But the point is this. Listening to ourselves can often get us into trouble. Again, who? What am I listening to? Again, David, he had trusted God so faithfully. He had seen God move in his life time and time again. He had seen God's faithfulness and provision. He had experienced God's protection. He had inquired of God and God would speak to him. He would listen to God and he would obey God. But David started speaking to himself. As a matter of fact, just a few verses earlier, in 1 Samuel chapter 26, verse 23, David said these words. He said, "The Lord rewards every man for his righteousness and his faithfulness." David proclaimed those words, and then we see just a few verses later, "Then David said in his heart, now I shall perish one day by the hand of Saul." Where is he getting this from? Over and over, God had protected him. Over and over, God had saw him through. He says, "There is nothing better for me." Where's he getting that from? He had seen God's providence and faithfulness, and now all of a sudden he's proclaiming, "There is nothing better for me than that I should escape to the land of my enemies, to the land of my Philistines. Then Saul will despair of seeking me any longer within the borders of Israel, and I shall escape out of his hand." Where is he getting all of this from? He had seen God protect him from Saul over and over and over. And all of a sudden, he's taking matters into his own hands. And by David doing this and speaking to himself and listening to himself instead of listening to God, it got him into a great conundrum. Speaking lie after lie, living in the land of the enemy for over a year, almost a year and a half. Again, let's ask ourselves this question today. Who are you listening to? What are you listening to today? Who, what are you allowing to shape your thoughts in this day and age, in year 2022? What are you saying to yourself? Maybe it's things like this. "I'm not good enough. I'm a failure. God doesn't love me. There's no way that God's going to see me through this. God's not going to protect me. God cannot provide for me in this situation. God doesn't have a plan for me. Therefore, I'm going to take matters into my own hands." Being a pastor is a great privilege. And I have found over the years of having this privilege and this honor to be a pastor that when I counsel someone in my office, such a big part of what I often have to do is to deconstruct lies that the person has been telling themselves. So often people will come into my office and sit down with me and tell me things like this: "No one loves me. Everyone hates me. But there's no way that this can work out. I'm a loser, Caleb, for what I've done. I'm nothing but a failure. I'm nothing but a disappointment." And I often have to ask, as I'm sitting with someone in my office, I often will ask, "Well, who told you these things?" And 99.9% of the time, they have told themselves these things. Again, listening to yourself and believing yourself is a dangerous thing to do unless you are preaching to yourself the gospel. Unless you are preaching to yourself the beautiful word of God. And here's a question that I want us to pose this morning, because I believe with all of my heart that we've all done this. I've done this. You've probably done this today, or maybe even this week, or maybe you might think about doing this tomorrow. Here's the question that I want us to ponder today, and it is this. Why do you get to say things about yourself that God has not and will not ever say? Let's ponder that question. Why do you get to say things about yourself that God has not and will not ever say? I think this text today, it challenges, it calls us today to quit listening to social media. Quit comparing ourselves to things on social media. Quit listening to the negativity of the news. Quit listening to the horrendous things that we see on the TV. Quit listening to yourself unless you are preaching to yourself the gospel. Unless you are preaching to yourself the beautiful promises of the Word of God. Quit saying things to yourself that God has never said, nor will He ever say. Here's why. Because if you say things to yourself that God has never said, it will cause you to do things that God never intended for you to do. I'm going to say that again. If you say things to yourself that God has never said, it will cause you to do things that God never intended for you to do. Just like we saw David do here in today's text. For too long. And I hope that today, for many of you, is just a sense of just release and freedom. For too long, you said to yourself things like this: I'm not good enough, I'm a failure because of this, I'm nothing but a disappointment, I'm a loser. And what happens whenever we say things like this to ourselves, we go and we find validation in all of the wrong places. But that's not what God says about you. Those words will never come out of His mouth, nor His mind, nor His heart. That's not what God says. God says, you, by faith and trust in the finished work of Christ, you are a chosen race. You're a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people for His own possession, that you may proclaim the excellencies of Him who called you out of darkness into His marvelous light. That's what God says about you. He's never said those other things that you've gone on to believe by telling yourself them over and over. For too long, you've said things to yourself like this: there's no way that God could love me. There's no way that God loves me. And what happens whenever we do that? We look for love in all of the wrong places. But that's not what God says. God so loved the world. God loves you. But God shows His love for us, and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. For too long, you've said things to yourself like this: there's no way this is going to work out. There's no hope for me. There's no hope for this situation. There's no hope for that person. But that's not what God says. What does His truth say? For nothing will be impossible with God. For too long, you've said things like this: there's no way that this need can be met. But that's not what God says. My God shall supply every need of yours according to His riches and glory in Christ Jesus. God has the ability to meet your needs. For too long, you've said things to yourself like this: God, He doesn't have a plan for my life. God doesn't know what He's doing. But that's not what God says. His truth, His Word, we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good, for those who are called according to His purpose. But then, what shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? So today, who, what are you listening to? Again, quit listening to yourself. Quit listening to the lies of the enemy. Quit listening to yourself unless you are preaching to yourself the promises of God, unless you are speaking to yourself the amazing gospel of our God. This is what David did in Psalm 42. He says, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? Why are you in turmoil within me?" He's preaching to himself now the word of God. "Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him, my salvation and my God." Today, who are you listening to? Above all, may we listen to God, to what He says, His voice, His word. Next, what do we do when we're sick and tired of being sick and tired? Next, lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God. Lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God, and not my wisdom, not the world's wisdom. In today's situation, as we're thinking about this text, David trusted in his own wisdom instead of the wisdom of God. And by him trusting in his own wisdom and in not the wisdom of God, it did not work out so well for him. Again, lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God, and not my wisdom nor the world's wisdom. Proverbs 14, there is a way that seems right to a man, looking at our own wisdom, but our ways, its end is the way to death. James says, if any of you lacks wisdom, who does he say to ask? Not that magazine, not social media. Who does he say to ask? He says, let him ask of God, who gives generously to all without reproach, and it will be given to him. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him. In every aspect of life, in all that you do, acknowledge God, and He will make straight your paths. That proverb goes on to say, be not wise in your own eyes. In other words, trust in God, follow God, lean on Him, trust in Him, trust His Word. Let's ask this question, how can we lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God? And I want to give us just three simple points to go along with this. And they're very churchy answers, but I believe they're so true and so powerful. How can we lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God? Number one, read the Bible daily. Number two, pray daily and go to church weekly. Number one, read the Bible daily. The Word says, your Word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. In other words, God's Word is there to guide us. It's there to lead us. It's there to give us wisdom. Paul said this, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that by testing you may discern what is the will of God. Who wants to know the will of God? We all want to know the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And it begs this question, how do we transform our minds so that we can discern and know the will of God? How can we transform our minds? Here is how. By meditating on Scripture. That's it. That's the answer. You want to change your mind today? You want to change your perspective on your life? See it through the lens of the Word of God. You'll be amazed, church family, at how your decisions will change when you daily get into the Word of God. It's there to lead you. It's there to guide you. Next, how can we lean on, trust in, and follow the wisdom of God? Pray daily. Again, I understand it's a very simple answer, but it's so profound. Pray daily. Paul said this going on in Romans chapter 12. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation and be constant in prayer. And you'll be amazed at how you hear the voice of God. Whenever you spend time every single day in prayer, whether that's driving to work or taking 5 minutes before your children get up in bed, but take some time every single day and spend time simply talking to God in prayer, going to Him and adoring Him and worshiping Him and thanking Him and confessing sin and bringing your needs before Him. But it's amazing to see what happens whenever we read His beautiful Word and talk to Him in prayer. He speaks to us. He gives us wisdom and guidance, discernment, and understanding to make the right decisions in life. Lastly, how can we lean on and trust in and follow the wisdom of God? And again, this is a very Sunday school answer, but I believe that it's so profound. I believe that it's so true. Go to church weekly. Make worship and being with the people of God a priority. And again, you will be so amazed at how God will guide your decisions in life when you weekly worship with other people. There's just something about it. Where you come into this place and you're surrounded by believers and you're singing the truths and the promises of God, and we're singing the gospel out loud, and God is able to speak to us. He's able to speak to us through the encouragements of other believers. Whenever we sit under the teaching and the exposition of the Word of God, God is able to speak to us. And I cannot tell you how many times over the course of my life, even being a pastor, even being a minister, sitting out there where you're in a worship service, and God just clearly speaking to me through a worship song, or through just a gentle, still voice by Him speaking to me, or by the pastor explaining the Word of God. I cannot tell you how many decisions I have been able to make over the years because of what I have heard God say to me whenever I was with the people of God. I love this psalm in Psalm 73. Notice what Asaph says. He says, "But when I thought how to understand this, it seemed to me a wearisome task." He can't figure it out. He can't understand this. But he says, "Until I went into the sanctuary of God, then I discerned their end." You'll be amazed at how God will speak to you just by these simple little things. By every single day doing your best. And I understand that life's busy. I understand that full well. But somehow, some way, getting this beautiful word into our heart, either by listening to it on your phone, by taking 5 minutes over your lunch break and reading it and meditating on a text, by praying to God, by being in worship with others, you'll be amazed at your decisions in life and the wisdom that God will give you and the discernment that God will give you. And lastly, what do we do in days like these days? In days whenever we are sick and tired of being sick and tired. And I think that this one is, to me, it's the most important thing that we need to be reminded of today. Stay close to Jesus. Stay close to Jesus. Let's be reminded today, church family, that Jesus has got it all figured out. He's got your life figured out. He's got tomorrow figured out for you. He sees what you're facing. He sees what you're going through. Be reminded today what Jesus said. Jesus said, "All authority has been given to me." Christ has all authority over your life, over everything that's going on in this world. Stay close to Him. Stay close to Him. As we read the Bible, one of the most amazing things about the Bible is that all of its heroes are imperfect. We're seeing this today with David, right? Did a lot of great things. But you know what? He also did a lot of imperfect things. The one person in the Bible who is perfect, you know who that is? It's Jesus Christ. That's why we stay close to Him. That's why we follow Him. That's why we cling to Him. One theologian writes, "It is true. No, it's a glorious truth that the heroes of the Bible, excepting Jesus Christ, are all scoundrels and criminals, breakers of God's law, and sinners to the core. This shows the Bible's honesty. No other religious tome dares to display the human weakness and sins of its heroes the way the Bible does. But the Bible is not trusting in man. The Bible is trusting in God." You see, church family, David, as great as he was, he points us to Christ. David was imperfect, but Jesus Christ is perfect. Only Jesus was perfect in the Bible. And this is why we trust in Jesus and His finished work on the cross, by His resurrection from the grave. This is why we trust in His finished work for our righteousness, because we're going to mess this thing up. We're not going to get this thing right. We're going to be like David. We're going to be nailing it one day and just knocking it out of the park. And then the next day we're going to go, "I'm going to say in my heart, I'm going to go and do this thing." Jesus Christ is our righteousness. That's why we trust in Him. That's why whenever we fall, we look to Him and say, "Jesus, I messed it up." We go back to His arms that are open wide for us, and we cling to Jesus. You want to make the right decisions in your life? Stay close to Jesus. You want wisdom in your life? Stay close to Jesus. You want to hear the right things spoken over you and spoken to you? Only listen to what Jesus says about you. Closing, I want to close with this poem that spoke to my heart this week as I read it. "Trust in the Lord, so shall thou dwell within the land, and daily tell how He thy soul does ever feed and well supply thine every need. Delight thyself in him always, in shine or storm, by night, by day. Thine heart's desires he will fulfill, and give the strength to do his will. Commit to him thine every way, and he will guide thee day by day. Thy righteousness shine as the light, thy judgment be as noonday bright. Rest in the Lord, wait for him, even though his path be often dim. Fret not, O child of God, thine heart, for Jesus Christ will peace impart. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? That last point, stay close to Jesus, hold on to Jesus. Let's be reminded today of why we need Jesus. We need Jesus, yes, to get us through every single day, but we also need Jesus for the forgiveness of sin. Why do we need that? Well, the Bible tells us this, that we all have sin in our life. What is sin? That's those bad things we've done, mistakes. The Bible says that every person has those, and the Bible also makes it very clear that sin separates us from God. In other words, because of our sin, there is a great chasm between us and God. We can't get to him on our own. Our sin blocks that. Our sin separates us from God. But the good news is this. The good news is that by trusting in the finished work of Christ, what is that work? It's his death on the cross, that he paid the penalty for sin. He was placed in a grave. And then 3 days later, he was resurrected from the grave, conquering sin and death and hell forever for all who would place their faith and trust in him. So today, you don't have to face the penalty of your sin. Today, you can place your faith and trust in Jesus for that forgiveness, for the hope of eternal life, for the hope of forgiveness. Maybe you're in this place today, or maybe you're catching us online. Today, would you, if you never have, commit your entire life to Christ and trust in him for the forgiveness of your sin? How do you do that? Well, you have to come to this realization that you need Jesus. You cannot conquer your sin on your own. You can't be good enough to get to God. Only Christ makes a way. So today, you can say this to God. You can say a prayer like this from the depths of your heart and mean it. God, I understand that I need Jesus. I understand that my sin separates me from Jesus. Today, I place my faith in Jesus. I believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. He paid the penalty for my sin. So today, by faith, I receive that free gift of eternal life. I believe in Jesus. I give my life to Jesus. I commit my life to Jesus. I confess that Jesus is the Lord of my life. Thank you, God, for saving me. And if you said that to God today and meant that from the depths of your heart, you have hope. You have the hope of eternal life. The hope that your sins are washed away. You are white as snow. You gain the righteousness of Christ that has been imparted to you. You're a child of God. And the next step for you is to let us know. The next step for you is what we call believer's baptism. It's how we show the world that we are identifying as a Christ follower. So today, if you said that to God, would you let us know by filling out that little offering or little piece of paper that's in your handout that you received? You can fill that out, tear it off, and place it in the offering plates as you leave in just a few moments. But we want to lead you and guide you in what's next. Maybe you're here today and you need prayer for something. You can fill out that little piece of paper as well and let us know how we can pray for you. We will pray for you and pray, come alongside you in whatever you're dealing with, whatever you're facing. But let us know so that we can celebrate with you and lead you and guide you into what's next. God, today we love you. Thank you so much for this word. Even though this one line, then David said in his heart, could be very easily passed over. Powerful. So powerful. It reminds us today to really think about what we're saying to others, but most importantly to ourselves. So Father, help us by the power of the Spirit to not speak lies to ourselves, to not listen to the lies of the enemy. We understand that the mind is a powerful thing. The mind can play great tricks and deceive us. But Father, help us today to not speak to ourselves things that you would never say, things that you never have said. God, help us by the power of your Spirit to speak to ourselves the truths of the gospel, that you love us, that you care for us, that you have a plan for us, that we're righteous by the finished work of Christ, that there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ. Thank you for your word. Thank you for your promises. God, help us to swim in those promises, to jump headlong into those promises every single day. Whenever we're depressed by what the news says, by what social media says, God, help us to turn our minds and our hearts and our attention to your promises and not what the world says. Help us, God, to lean on and to trust in and to follow your wisdom, not our own wisdom. Even this week, as we will tend to get away and to make plans based on our own decisions, Father, help us to bathe all of our decisions in prayer and the word, the listening to you. Most importantly, help us to stay close to Jesus. Thank you for Jesus, for the Spirit that leads us, that guides us. Thank you that Jesus has all authority. Help us to stay close to Jesus. We love you, God. Thank you for your word. Thank you for being such a good Savior. We turn our eyes to you. We look to you. You are the way, the truth, the life. You are our hope in this day. In your name we pray. Amen.